This is Only We Matter Podcast. I'm Brandon.
I'm Jacqueline.
Our desire is to spark conversation of how each generation matters.
Join in on our conversation.
Hey, Brandon. It's good to be back with you. Looking forward to our guest today. Her name is Alana O'Brien. And we're excited to talk to her during this time of quarantine, the COVID 19 season that we're in.
Yeah, it'll be great to talk and hear about what she's been doing to work at home and some tips that she's been posting on social media to help her friends and family and followers. And so, yeah, we're really excited to have her on.
Definitely, this is what we want to be talking about, is how to survive at home. And we want to talk about generational differences within the home. Alana O'Brien, welcome to Only We Matter podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, we're excited. We're diving right in. We're excited to have you on our show. And we really want to talk definitely about you and your home. And you've got a generational thing happening. You have little ones at home. But first, Alana, tell us a little bit about yourself. So what do you do? Do you work at home all the time? Or is it just because of the COVID virus that we're all subject to right now?
Sure. And I just want to say, I can't promise, because I am working at home with my little one, that she won't come in here at some point.
Well, we love that. We love it.
But yes, I am a video producer and I work on commercials mainly, or I did. But I also do corporate projects and I do production management and I oversee post-production. I do some editing at home of late. And yeah, I kind of do a lot of things in the video production, commercial production world. And that has primarily, since I went freelance in 2005, that has been a lot of work from home, primarily work from home in terms of prepping shoots. And then as budgets with shoots have gotten smaller, there used to be a time when we would have a production office locally that we would all go work in the weeks leading up to a shoot, but those budgets have also gotten smaller. And so a lot of that work has come into my home. Sometimes the production office is set up in a room downstairs and I have my team working out of a room downstairs, both before and after a shoot. But yeah, a lot of it, I would say probably 85% is done from home.
Oh, wow. So, and does your husband work from home too, or is he out most of the time?
He has a combo as well. He is here a lot. He is a vocal coach and music director, and he does a lot of coaching here at our house, which is sometimes complicated because he has students that are singing here, that are performing, prepping for auditions, sometimes working on monologues where there's a lot of yelling, loud speaking. And so that has been a challenge for us probably for 15 years of trying to mesh these two things together. He also is a voiceover artist, so he has a booth like a the size of a telephone booth pretty much in his office where he records. And so there are challenges with that, with having a child, especially a young child, you know, neighbors, dogs, leaf blowers, that sort of thing. So we have to work around that too. And there's a lot of components.
Wow. So you do have a lot going on in your house, but you've been doing this for a long time, which is why then you've been sharing some tips, it seems, about how to help people who are doing this for the very first time. And you have a lot, like, and it's like loud type of work. It's not like one desk here, one desk here. You can all work in the same room. You guys have very different work going on that needs different spaces, especially. So you have one child, or do you have more than one?
One. She's 10.
She's 10. So you got like all kinds of action going on around you.
It's true. Always.
Hey, I'm in a similar boat right now. I mean, I have three girls.
Wow.
And one just knocked on my door and wanted in right now. And I'm like, man, I hope that banging wasn't on the recording. So
I didn't hear anything.
Oh, good, good. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. So let's give me some tips then. Like this is pretty new for me. I'm literally in a closet right now recording. So I'm similar to your husband. It's the size of a telephone booth. And how can I be a little more sane right now with my kids around? My wife's doing a master's. I'm trying to do, whether it be podcasting or my pastoral work. What are some tips you could give me?
Well, you know, the one I shared with Jacqueline earlier, and I shared with several friends too, is that, you know, we've been doing this for 15 years and we're still not great at it. Like, we know some of the things that work, but that doesn't necessarily mean we are able to implement it, because because our work and our schedule changes sometimes moment by moment. It's really hard. We find ourselves pivoting off each other constantly. Like for example, Chris was supposed to be on this call with me this morning, but his recording session from yesterday got bumped into this time frame. He's not available. And we find a lot of our difficulties working from home are shifting time frames. So we can't say, hey, we're going to meet at noon for lunch and talk about that. Or, hey, I thought, you know, we were going to go do this at this certain time, because our work is here. And if one person is delayed thinking we're going to get together to chat about something or work something out, they're delayed, then one of us will start a new project and we can go the entire day, like, not being able to get our schedules in sync at all. And that's really tough. And I think, you know, we've had a lot of time to practice with this, but people that are thrown into this situation, if you bring kind of the expectations of normal communication and how you normally relate into your new work environment, there's just a potential load of conflict to be experienced. And one of the things that when we commit to it works well is if we say, okay, the things I want to talk to you about or need to, I'm not going to treat them like a stream of consciousness when I just go down or I interrupt your session, or I'm just going to keep my own list of things that, from, you know, banking to something fun I want to do to a problem we're having with our daughter or something like that, to keep that list just kind of running in the notes on my computer or wherever, so that when we do have that time to discuss, those things are all there. Because it is honestly the weirdest thing is that when we do have time, suddenly I can't think of any of the things that were so pressing. And then I'm frustrated at that. Like, I knew there was 25 things I needed to discuss with you, and now when we actually have 20 minutes together, they're all gone. So kind of ordering your thoughts and trying to be disciplined with keeping track of those things so that you can let the other person get into a more deep focus place, get their work done, alleviates some of the stress. Not all, but that has helped us a lot, because we tend to be very out of sync with when we're ready to discuss things. And, you know, I'm kind of a get up and go, I want to just jump right into it person. Chris, that's when he sort of wants to talk and I'm anxious. I'm like, I just want to get doing things. And then when I want to talk, that's when he's in his mode. And so I think my encouragement to people was, don't expect that that's just going to happen easily or naturally the way it does when you're at home just being a family. That kind of conflict and out of syncness is completely normal, and kind of keeping these lists is a way to work around that.
Yeah, that's really neat. So I hear a couple different things in there. Is like, you know, making sure we're giving each other space to do our work. You know, don't interrupt. Make your own list of things to talk about later. But then it's about having that higher form of communication when you get it. Like when those opportunities come, to communicate well in those moments. And I think that takes a lot of practice in a couple and in a family, is to learn how to take the time that you actually have and use it really well.
Totally. It really does. And, you know, we have one child, and so we try to use this with her as well. But the thing with one child is they are used to dominating your attention and they're getting it. So we have noticed over the years that, you know, she's not used to waiting or used to taking a turn with another child. She expects kind of instant access to us. And that working with that is kind of, allowing her to kind of make a list and be really thoughtful and intentional about what she wants to talk to us about. And is this really important, or is this something that, you know, we can talk about at lunch? Is good. It's good practice for her. It doesn't always work. Sometimes it doesn't work at all. But if when we can all commit to it, it's smoother.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jacqueline.
Well, I like that you said to her, we're going to mount this whiteboard outside of my office and you can write urgent notes so you don't forget them.
Yeah.
So does that work?
It does work. It does. And actually it kind of creates a really cool little journal that she does. Like I often take pictures of the notes she writes me. Like last week, one of the things she was like urgently wanting to tell me is that she and her dad had gone to bury this little bird that had died in a nest in our yard. I know, it's so sad. I'm so sad. It like brought tears to my eyes, but she, we had been like so excited about this bird and watching it hatch and everything. And then the mother abandoned the nest. And so she left me this little note, Daddy and I went to bury the baby bird. And I was just like, oh, and then, you know, so there are things like that. Like to her, that was a big deal. And she wanted to share that. And I was like, well, yeah, I was actually sad to not be there for it, but it took some self-control and emotional control for her to say, okay, we're going to go do this. This is important to me to talk about, but we'll talk about it later. So it does work. And yeah, I have some cute pictures of the notes that she's written because she's more thoughtful when she writes it down than just walking into my room.
Hmm. Well, so when is it? Oh, go ahead. Oh, Brandon. Brandon is chomping at the bit. He is so excited about this.
I just have one more question.
No, go.
It was just this, like when is it important, or when is that threshold of, you know, your child needs you? It's probably bigger than the whiteboard can handle.
Yeah.
How does that happen quite often for you? How do you handle those moments?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I expect one of those moments, honestly, at any point in this call, because we've gone back to school this morning from spring break. My daughter's school has been online for several weeks. And she's just realized that she had an assignment to work on over spring break that she didn't practice as much she's wanted to. So I'm expecting that to, you know, she was very upset realizing that this morning. That's probably going to be a thing that the whiteboard will not solve. Does that fit into the rest of our schedule? It's really hard to juggle. You know, Chris missed an appointment yesterday because we were trying to deal with a crisis that she had. And and sometimes it doesn't even matter. Like you don't really have the opportunity to decide, can I do this? Can I not? It's just in your lap. So it's not, I don't know that I have an easy answer for that.
I think it's interruptions, right? Like I've been thinking about like even where Jesus was in his ministry, and like most of his interactions were interruptions.
Yeah.
Most of his best teaching moments were interruptions. Yeah. And that's how life is dealt a lot of times, even for us. And so now we experience that pretty intensely for pretty much everybody, but something you've been trying to work with for several years, but...
Yeah, that's a great point. And yeah, you're never sure when that moment is and what will be the takeaway that the child has. Like when my parent needed me, were they there? Were they working? You know, what is the priority? Like, how are we making the best choices with our time? And what is going to be the takeaway, you know, that the child remembers in that time? Did I put my work aside and did I meet her in her need? Or is the more important lesson for her to realize that, you know, she can't interrupt this thing either because this is how our family needs to function right now. So I don't know. I don't know that we have any great answers. I think even when we make a decision, you know, we're up in the middle of the night going, was that the right one? Were we too hard? Were we too lenient? I don't know. I think that's the thing where I think that as people of faith, we call out and say, you know, God, please help us to prioritize and know those moments, because when we're making them on the fly, I don't know. I don't know that you ever feel 100% good or not guilty about the decisions you make, but at least I think having a little bit of that guidance is helpful.
I think that's also part of just being a parent, and we're always going to look back and go, oh, that was such a... I was going to say stupid move, right? But that's just, I can't believe I did that. Like, if I could go back, I would just do it just a little bit different, a tweak it just a little bit more so that there was a more positive spin on a negative situation, right? But
totally.
I mean, ask ask my grown kids and they'll like, I don't even remember that. like, did we even do that? Like, when was that?
Right.
And so then it's like, yeah, it's because we want to do well. We want to finish well as a parent. We want to do it well, you know?
Yeah.
And we take it, we take the responsibility and the weight of being a parent very seriously.
Yeah.
And so I think that's great, you know, at the beginning of the day that you, you know, before you get into it, you're giving the day and you're giving those questions that are unknown or situations that are unknown that will come up, you're giving them to the Lord and he directs you. And then you have to just trust that he directed you in that moment.
Yep. Yep. That's right.
Well, to our listeners that don't know, Alana and I are first cousins. We had talked with your sister Kimberly a little while ago, and she has a blog out and about the not so perfect parents, and yeah. I really appreciate that. But I really love your different perspective because you have a smaller home, you guys work from home, and trying to make this happen. What I'm wondering is, our podcast is about generational differences and how we can bridge the gap mm-hmm. and learn from each other. So I want to just talk a little bit from your perspective, growing up, did your parents work from home? Because I don't think we even talked to Kimberly about that. So,
yeah.
So tell us from your perspective about growing up in your home and then just talk about whether they worked from home or not and
sure.
how that affected you.
Sure. You know, it's interesting. When I saw your notes about that, my parents did work from home. Some, they had a, business that they were, that they owned for many years. And they, it was a medical ID bracelet company and they had an office that they went to, but, they, you know, obviously there was a lot of work that came home with them. My dad had an office in our home and at various times when he was between work, he was there and something I learned from him, I realized, that I think about every day is that even when my dad was, between different jobs or transitioning, he got up every morning, he shaved, he got dressed for work and he went into that office and he shut the door. And I really learned a lot from that in terms of, you know, and I think it's very valuable for us right now. There's this huge temptation to think, well, you know, we're at home, we're in our yoga pants, we're, you know, just we're in kind of pajamas all day. You know, it's funny. But you know, I learned from my dad that to work at home, really, you have to put yourself in that state. And if it's not there for you, you have to create it for yourself. And yeah. getting up and getting showered and doing your hair, putting on makeup and like tidying your space and making it your work mode mentally is really critical to, I think, being efficient, to being focused, to taking it seriously. And, you know, our daughter's school has done this with her as well, but she wears a uniform to school. And though she's in online school right now, she's going into her uniform to go to school because it puts us in a state. And that was something my dad figured out, you know, long, long ago and was modeled for us as kids. So yeah, I guess to answer that question in a roundabout way, my parents had kind of a hybrid also, similar to what we have here and made that work. Also,
I love that whole closing the door action that your dad did is what you have incorporated into your own home. Now, I don't know if that was intentional or it was just ingrained in you. I don't know, but I love that connection between your dad, what he modeled to you and what you're doing and passing it on to the next generation. So that's really cool.
Yeah. Now I will say that even though he did that, and I don't remember feeling as a child kind of like shut out or whatever, but I know I feel like that. And I think that's one of the struggles that people might feel as well. Like a child may feel, or a spouse may feel, that there is a door closed to you that used to be open. And it feels like rejection. It feels like I'm not wanted in this situation right now. And that's why I was like, if we can kind of recontextualize what that means and commit to, okay, this person really needs to focus. They have work to do. I'm actually protecting their deep focus by, you know, staying out. It's not personal. It doesn't mean, you know, I shouldn't take it as such. It's a really, really key differentiator if you can recontextualize what that closed door means. It's not keeping somebody out, but it's protecting somebody inside of there. It's a very different mindset.
I think that's really important for me. I think that's a good thing for me to try to think about and process with my girls. Like, they even it's really hard for them to think that, oh, dad's going upstairs now to go to work, right? And to do some work. You know, my 3-year-old was blocking my way today. And so I kind of gave her the ultimatum. I was like, well, do you want me to go to my office at work, or do you want me to go upstairs? And she finally let me come upstairs and thought this was the better option. So, but that's a great way to recontextualize that and allowing the focus now and to have even better quality time later.
Yeah. You know, my brother-in-law, after I posted about this a little bit, he mentioned in Frozen, the scene with Anna and Elsa, like, you know, Anna's on the outside knocking on the door and Elsa's not coming. And it just feels like, what did I do wrong? And it was brilliant, actually. He's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And then the song in that movie is Love is an Open Door, right? Later on, like, that's what love equals, is that I have access to you all the time. But love can sometimes be a closed door if we, you know, if we look at it as a sacrificial thing. Much harder for kids, but it can be explained, I think, in that way.
Well, we don't have children at home anymore, but we both work from home now. So I work from home 85% of the time, and Bill would normally go to his office, but now he's working from home. And I loved your post. And it's actually, that's what really got me going with all of this, was it helped me to articulate what it's like to work from home. Now, I am a highly active extrovert.
Yes.
And, and I'm like, yay, I've got somebody home with me. This is so great. We're going to have so much fun. And he's like, so I'm here to work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you don't understand. And he's like, no, I'm here to work. And so that whole closed door has been really good. It was really great for me to read your post and the closed door and to understand, you know what, let's think about why I'm going in, or when I'm going in, or how to be respectful about that. And so now what's really cool is if our day, our schedule allows it, then we try to have a coffee break together, morning and afternoon, and we try to have lunch together.
Yeah.
And so that's really great, because then we can just reconnect about what's happening in either office.
Yeah.
That we both do two completely different jobs. And so,
and you know, even speaking generationally, my dad still works from home, you know, and he is turned 80 this year, and he has an office, and it's still a struggle for them, you know, as long as he's been doing this, and it's been a while. That you know, even my parents and I were kind of talking about this and how it's hard, and how the person from home is just like, ah, you know, why can't I have access to you? And I wanted to say, a couple of people said to me, I don't have a door. How do I make this space? And I used to work in an office where I was interrupted often. We didn't have doors to close. It was an open workspace. And I just used to put on headphones and try to go into that space. And the headphones were the signal that, okay, this person is unavailable for conversation. Mm-hmm. And that can work as well.
Mm-hmm. So what other tips would you have to offer? When we were talking prior to our podcast, you said, yeah, I've got a few more tips that I want to offer. Can you give us a little sneak preview, a little insight?
Sure. One of the things Chris and I have realized is that for us to kind of have a good conversation, because our work is in the house, we actually have to leave. I know our options right now are limited as to how to do that, but you know, I think people planning to take a walk or exercise or do something else instead of like, okay, now we're together, let's just sit down and talk. For some reason, that seems to sometimes stifle good conversation. And sometimes if we add an activity to it, especially an activity that is not around the distractions of work, we can both actually focus better. And that often means, you know, leave phones or whatever and go walk for 10 minutes or go sit outside or just be away from the work itself because it's so sticky and just draws you back in so easily. So I would say, you know, especially if you had a list of stuff you want to talk about and then can leave somewhere together, even if it's just a short time, that seems to kind of work hand in hand with the list. That's a great one. And, you know, we are not great about this. I think this would be helpful, but we still struggle with this is that, you know, after our daughter goes to bed, it's like, well, we're just going to both go back to work and we can end up working both of us till midnight because the thing about having it at home with you, there's always more to do. Mm-hmm. And the back end of that, or even on weekends, you know, it's just, you feel like I can't really relax and watch a movie or I can't really do something else because that work is right there and it's nagging and I can just pop my laptop open and keep it going. We have realized that it's so easy to fall into those patterns and feel honestly guilty about taking an hour off to watch something or just do something different. So, you know, we have experimented with times like, oh, let's just turn, you know, the Wi-Fi goes off or whatever, or we just have to purposely go forget it. It's going to be there tomorrow. And I'm really tired or I'm not really doing any productive work anymore. And just, I have to leave it alone. So I think you have to sort of be mindful of that and know that you're going to feel guilty, but for your mental health, for your emotional health, you have to just, you know, put some boundaries around the timeframes when you just aren't going to work anymore and you are available for other things.
Yeah. The walk thing was really important and profound for us last week. We went for like a walk. I don't know. We just started like, we got warm enough up here in this freezing cold Canada to actually go outside for a nice walk together as a family, especially with the baby. And I was like, whoa, like my head is so clear. Like, yeah. I don't know why. And we had like such good conversation. It was playful. And it was a really good family time that we had actually going as a family. And so that was really profound for me in those days last week and looking forward to more of those.
Yeah.
This week. Yeah.
For sure.
So, well, hey, Alana, I gotta get going here right away. And, thanks so much for all this, tips and advice and conversation here, to help us out during this, really strange time for all of us. And, I know you helped me today and, you'll help our listeners as well.
That's great. Well, thank you so much. I love talking to you both.
Thanks, Alana. And we will have a coffee sooner than later.
Yeah.
I'm not going to wait another few months to do this.
Okay, that would be awesome. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Thanks, Lena.
Okay, bye.
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 Thanks for listening to Only We Matter. I'm Jacqueline.
I'm Brandon. You can find us on any podcast site and social media site mostly. So join the conversation.